Invite you into an Old Testament reading. This reading, it comes out of the it's a prophet in the Old Testament, the prophet Jeremiah. But Jeremiah chapter 29, we're going to start at verse 4, continue through verse 7. In the book of Jeremiah, I'm going to be reading from a translation of the Bible. It's called the New Revised Standard Version. This is the updated edition of that version. But you do not have to follow along with that one. You can follow along in your favorite one as well. Beginning at Jeremiah chapter 29, starting at verse 4, continuing through verse 7, I invite you to hear these words. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat what they produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters, multiply there, and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I've sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we do give you thanks for these words that you are speaking in our midst. We thank you, O God, for the inspiration that has brought these words into our presence. And we pray and ask that as our hearts come together and as we meditate upon these words, we ask you, O God, to speak into our hearts. And I thank you for the words that you have spoken to me. And I pray that as I preach this morning, the words that I share, that they will be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. For these things we ask together in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, our Savior. Amen. You know, I remember, and I was thinking about that. I remember that I spent a lot of time praying in. That's when I found myself, and I was at Birmingham Southern. I was at Birmingham Southern, and I was in my undergrad, I was college there, and this particular prophet, the prophet Jeremiah, one of the first times that I had really, Jeremiah was not something that I was just picking up and wanting to dig into, but one of the first times that I really got into the prophet Jeremiah was a whole semester seminar that was only on this book of the Bible. It was only on the prophet Jeremiah. A seminar is being one of those classrooms where there's about 8 or 9 people that are in the room. There's 8 or 9 students out there, and then your professor is leading you. But right now, Southern is this wonderful place where it wasn't only teaching assistants, but there were tenured professors that were leading. And it is a wonderful It's a wonderful kind of professor that would invite us into these really deep conversations on the prophet and on the literature of the prophet. And then he would kind of let us all sit there as kids, you know, who had already figured everything out. You ever been around college students who have already known everything about the world? We could do that really easily. We could be in those seats, and we could already figure out everything we need to know. And so he'd let us go back and forth, and then he may have a laugh at us, and then he would lead us into this. That was the first time that I read what I've just shared with you and thought, what in the world does that mean? To seek the welfare of the city, because in the city's welfare, that's where you're going to find your own welfare. And it was a beautiful verse of scripture. It was a beautiful image, and I could imagine, you know, maybe what that would look like. But really, how do you hold on to that, and how do you live with that? Particularly when Jeremiah was written so long ago. And so I remember struggling with that. And as I come here this morning, I've tried my best, realizing that there's a whole lot more that I don't know than what I thought that I knew when I was in that seminar classroom, but realizing that when we come to a place in the scriptures like this, we can sort of, you know, ask ourselves, and even what Jeremiah was doing, is that how many of you have had a moment this week where you have felt lonely? I know it may seem off the wall, but I want to invite you into, I think, one of the things that Jeremiah is trying to invite us into. Now, the reason that I ask this question and have you felt lonely this week is that that is a question that has been asked by pollsters. There are people in the United States that have been asked this question, and one out of every three United States adults, they say, yes, I feel lonely once a week. 10% of people say, yes, I feel lonely every day. Now, this is 2024, so don't think this is 2020, 2021, when everybody was quarantined, when everybody was this. This is 2024. This is the American Psychiatric Association. In fact, in 2023, Vivek Murthy said that we're in a loneliness epidemic, these feelings of loneliness that we have, that is to a place now where it's kind of this epidemic. This epidemic of loneliness. And so I've used that before, but I wanted to show you some of those numbers that one out of every three U.S. adults say, yeah, once a week. 10% of folks say, yeah, I feel that way every single day. Now, if we do this, if we think about people who are lonely, and if we think about the consequences that happen among people that are lonely, and if we remember what Jesus tells us is the greatest commandment, Jesus said this. He said that the greatest commandment, you all know this, even if you're not in church, you've probably heard this, that you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. And what is that second? The second is you shall love your neighbor as yourself, and on these commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, if we take this, a little bit of information about loneliness, a little bit of information about the number of people who we may brush shoulder to shoulder with who would say, yes, I'm lonely. And if we take this back to this prophet that we're centering everything around this morning. When Jeremiah says, seek the welfare of the city, he is inviting us into what Jesus is going to reveal to us, is saying this is one of the greatest commandments. That the greatest commandment that we have is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. And that second one is that you are to love your neighbor as yourself. You see, what I was doing when I was in that seminar classroom is I was thinking that when I come to a prophet like Jeremiah, that it's important for me in the Hebrew Scriptures, in the Old Testament, to go back and to study the history, the tradition of the text, try to imagine what would it look like to be a 6th century Babylonian that had been exiled, that had been forced out of their home, that was then invited by the prophet Jeremiah to look at those places where God could bring blessings of new homes, new families, you know, all those things that we have, to look in those places. And for a long time, that's where I tried to stay. For a long time, I tried to imagine, what does it mean to get into the history and the tradition to learn about the exile of this text? And what I was missing is the people that are right around us. The people that, you know, do say, it's not enough to go back into the 6th century to learn about loneliness, to learn about exile. There's people right under our noses that are lonely. People that are right in front of us that feel like they are in exile. How many of you know that nickname about the city that is closest to us, one of the largest cities that we have, the Magic City? You know, in the Magic City, and it's the Magic City because there was a moment, as our country talks about manufacturing, there was a moment when it was considered that Birmingham was a magic place. It was a place that in the midst of steel production, in the midst of all the infrastructure that raised it, that it would be a magic place where, well, just like Jeremiah's asking, where you could thrive, where you could live, and everything would be great. But imagine, even in the Magic City, imagine all those people at times that are leaving families and friends that they love, communities that they've grown up in, just to come to school at UAB, or even to go to work at UAB. Imagine all those people who feel like exiles and friends because they have left families and friends and communities to come into the Magic City for careers and to work. Not to mention those that they do, that they leave behind. I had a wonderful church member that was in this church I was serving. His name was Jimmy. And Jimmy was telling me one day about how his grandfather and his father, and now Jimmy, that they'd had some experience working in rock quarries. We have a lot of rock quarries that are around us in Birmingham. I was serving a particular church that was right next to one. It was right next to a rock quarry. And I told him, I said, Jimmy, I said, if I'm going to be serving here, if I'm going to be at that church, I said, I want you to tell me about this place. I said, would you mind telling me about a rock quarry? And I said, pretend like I'm a curious six-year-old boy and tell me what a rock quarry does. Tell me what happens when you drive up there, when your daddy was driving up there, when you are driving up there, Jimmy. I said, tell me what it is. You know what he did? This is a wonderful thing. This is the wonderful thing about being a pastor. And I would say this, that as far as United Methodists, I could almost affirm this 100% looking at all of you who are in this space. I may not know about people that are online right now, but I could say for you that are here, I bet you do the same thing. You know what Jimmy did? He made an appointment with me, came into my office, and he brought bags of rocks. And he literally showed me, he said, this is what happens, and these are the stages, and this is what, and it was as unsophisticated as you're probably guessing. We dig a hole like this, and then we go in here, this is what we blow in here, and he did this. But he would also tell me, as much as he loved the job, and he really did, as much as he loved his job and what he was doing, he said, you know, there was a time when I was exiled into that God-forsaken side of the state, because Jimmy had to go and he had to work. He had to work on the side of the state that included Auburn, Alabama. And he was at a rock quarry that was very close to Auburn, and he spent a few years there. And over what he would say is he would say, that God-forsaken side of the state. Jimmy, as you can probably imagine, was an Alabama graduate. And this, I think, is so helpful about what the prophet teaches us, is that as we do, and you don't have to be in a seminar at Birmingham Southern, you don't have to know the history and the tradition of the 6th century Babylonian exile. But what you do need to know is that all of us have moments when we feel like we've been exiled. All of us have moments when we feel like we're lonely. All of us have been in towns and cities and communities where we have felt like we're not connecting, where we felt like we're disconnecting. And the prophet Jeremiah reminds us that no matter how God-forsaken the land is, that as we do seek the welfare of our own city, that as we seek the welfare of the places that God has placed us in, as we, in the midst of what Jeremiah says, as we build homes, and when we dig wells, when we have children, as isolated and God-forsaken as the city may feel, God's there. God's present in those places. Because all of us, no matter where we are at, cities that we love, cities that we may not have all the love for, we've all had moments when we don't feel God's presence in our lives. And often when we have those moments when we don't feel God's presence, what do we do? It's like, I got to fix it. I mean, nobody likes to be isolated. None of us like to be exiled, particularly when we're isolated and exiled or in captivity away from God, do we? We say, I got to do something. I've got to fix this. And so what do? We turn into our prayer lives. I've got to pray. I don't feel God's presence, so I've got to pray. We turn to our Bibles. I've got to read. Maybe I should know something about the Babylonian exile. Maybe that will help me to feel God's presence more. We turn into our boss. We turn into our church sometimes. I haven't felt close to God. You've got to help me. And we look at it and say, we've got to fix it because we don't like it. And a really unique phenomenon happens. Because when we get lonely, when we get stressed, when we get anxious, this is part of our nature. We turn toward ourselves. We turn inside. We turn inside our Bibles, our prayers. We turn inside even our church. And yet we miss the presence of God in the city. How many of you remember? How many of you remember this foundational ancient story of the people of God? Noah's Ark. It's a story that we teach our children, right? The story is such a simple story that we can share it with our kids. We can tell them. But notice that. After 40 days, rain. After 40 days of a flood. After 40 days of being isolated, cut off from everything, being exiled. The 40 days being floating on that water, there's a rainbow that appears. Notice this. This is why, and I'm so grateful. So grateful for our tech team that was able to put that picture up. It's the same picture. It's one of the things I do as a preacher. I find things on my computer, and then I give them to our tech team, and I say, I want it to be up there. So they do all the work. I mean, I just find it, and then they put it up there like that. But look at that picture. Look at that picture, and what it is the ark, and there's a rainbow. Where's the rainbow at? It's outside. It didn't flourish, it didn't blossom, it didn't come inside the ark, but it's outside. It is outside where the entire city can see it. The rainbow's not inside the ark, it happens outside. This is where Jeremiah reminds us that in our city's welfare, that's when we find our own welfare. That as tempting as it may be to turn inside over and over again, God may be bringing to light a rainbow in our city that we're missing. And there's another thing that Jeremiah reminds us is that as we do, and as we seek the welfare of our own city, that there we will find our own welfare. How often have you thought about the end of exiles, the end of your loneliness, your storm, your 40 days, your 40 nights, like Noah experienced, or even your own? How many of you have thought about that and thought that you could find a rainbow in the midst of that in your own city? See, there's another interesting phenomenon that happens, is that as we, people like us, people that are followers of Jesus, people like us that come on a Sunday morning to Grace Point, people that watch Grace Point online, people like us that come, there's a kind of reciprocating that happens. When we love and care about our city, others notice it. And they pick up on it. They start to seek the welfare of their city too. So really, this picture right here that you're going to see, this is a picture. It's about 3.3 miles from here. We have wonderful means of calculating that and figuring that out. So 3.3 miles actually from the gym, from the pastor's desk on the office that's over there, to Gardendale City Hall. That's where this is at. City of Gardendale, 3.3 miles from us right here. This is a rendering of a hoped-for entertainment district that is part of a huge, large study that is a 10-year plan that was just unveiled the other night. Now, one of the wonderful things about it is that it's not only in churches that I previously served, that there are wonderful United Methodists that, well, love their city and care about their city that are here. Bill, one of the singers that was here this morning, he said, hey, they're going to have this unveiling of a comprehensive plan for the city of Gardendale. And so I was able to go to that. I was able to show up and go to that. And it was in the city council chamber. I don't know if any of you have been in the city council chamber at the city of Gardendale, but you can imagine, if you imagine, looks a little bit like this. There's a high platform. There's a high platform that is there. And you have all the chairs for the city council people that are there. And then a little bit further down in the front, you have a podium that is there and has the city seal that is in front of it like that. And then there's rows and rows of chairs that are there. So there's about 35, 40 people that are in the room like that. And Mayor Hoagland, the mayor of the city of Gardendale, did something I think is extraordinarily brave, stands up there, and he does this as like city leaders do sometimes. He says, are there any questions that you have, any comments that you had as they were unveiling this plan about the next 10 years of the city? And he said, I've already heard from one person, because the mayor, like many of our city leaders, many people that are leaders, was already talking to people before everyone was seated in those chairs in all those rows. And he said, you know, one person has already told me I've only showed up here tonight to complain. Now, I will say this. The format that was happening, again, with the podium and with the seal of the city that is right there, and as the first person came to the podium, she offered the comprehensive plan of the city of Gardendale. And it took about an hour. It took about 60 minutes that was there. And she stood from there and asked a couple of questions. No complaining with those questions. And then the mayor comes up and stands behind the podium and is there with the seal of the podium there, with the rows of chairs, and everyone who was there and polite, and said, are there any questions? And then also said, if anyone would like to meet with me, if anyone would like to talk to me, he said, I'm a pretty accessible mayor, he said, just let me know, and I'll be glad to meet with you. You know what happened? There were a few questions. But you know what happened? There were no complaints. Although there was a promise of complaints, there was not a single complaint that came up. There were some questions, some clarifying questions along the way. But in that moment, in the city council chambers, and in a moment of, well, revealing and unveiling what can be pretty controversial stuff, together, that group of community people, they sought the welfare of their city. And it is rather quite amazing, because that's what happens, is that when we do come together to seek the welfare of our own places that we live in, own places that we love, that as isolated and as lonely as we may feel at times, as exiled as we may feel at times, from people in our church, from our family, from our friends, God reminds us that rainbows come to life outside, that rainbows unfurl outside, and that as we, as followers of Jesus Christ, that as we seek the welfare of the places that we live and work and play in, well, we'll discover our own welfare too. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we ask you to equip us to be people who seek welfare and our own welfare in the places where you have led us, Lord. We thank you for the blessings that you give us of homes, of families, of communities of faith. We pray and ask, O God, that as those very places, our own very cities and towns and neighborhoods, as we care for them, Lord, we pray and ask that you will give us eyes so that we may see the way that those very same places care for us. Give us ears, O God, so that we may hear your voice speaking to us in those same places. Lord, let us see the beauty of our earth. Let us see the beauty, Lord, of your presence in our world. We pray this all in Christ's name. Amen.